in the Pray First series, right? And you can pick up one of these books out at the front desk if you haven't gotten one already. And I'm actually going to go through, I think it's chapter 2 or 3 in here, about the tabernacle today. All right? And I'm going to show you a little bit about the tabernacle and how they prayed, you know, a couple millennia ago or so. So if you haven't gotten one of these, go ahead and pick them up out the front desk. As Billy says, free 99. Doesn't cost you a thing, all right? So there you go with the Pray First book. So I'm really going to give you a playbook on how they used to do it. Like I said, probably 3, 4, 5,000 years ago. In this case, the time frame is back during Moses' time when they built the tabernacle. And maybe how you can use what they did back then in your prayer standards today and what you do today on a daily basis. So let's jump right in. We'll go right to Scripture. Ephesians, I think, is up there. Ephesians 6, 18. All right? Ephesians says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." All pray in the Spirit on all occasions, right? How many of us, when things go bad, we get away from it? We don't even think about it because things are bad, instead of slowing down and stopping, right? Pray on all occasions and all kinds of prayers and different kinds of requests, all kinds of requests. So you can do it for anything. Prayer doesn't have to be just a simple, "Oh, I'm trying to get Aunt Bessie to survive this," right? Come on, please, please. It can be simple things and some hard things too, all at the same time. So everything. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That one's going to be a tough one, right? All the Lord's people. We'll get to that a little bit later as we go on. Okay, so pray not just when things are bad, right? But always and everywhere, like a conversation with your best friend. You know who your conversation with your best friend is now, though? It's Jesus, right? That's who we're talking with. So your best friend, who happens to be Jesus, you see, it's a relationship with God, right? It's not just something you get to and you just, "Oh, it's a chore, I got to do this," right? It's a relationship with God, and he asks you to pray, basically. You ever get flustered when somebody asks you to pray? Huh? You're in a setting, especially if you don't know the people around you. Hey, Brian, can you pray? I know, I'm flustered. I get that way too. Or you get one of those settings where everybody's supposed to pray. You pray. Just kind of like Oprah giving out cars, right? But that gets really frustrating, and it can be something that you get anxiety over. Well, here's some places where you could pray. How about home, right? You can do it there. Work, in your car, in bed, Starbucks, White Castle. Some of you in line are praying that you getting through the White Castle, I think. Shower, golfing, with your family, with friends, with those you don't know yet. How about that? Those you do know, even if you don't like them, all right? It can go on and on and on. Literally anywhere, anytime, any place, all right? So this is the kind of stuff we're going to be getting into as we go through this. Think about today's picture of this, where you can go anytime, any place, in the tabernacle itself. It would be like a running text with God. That's the way we would look at it right now, right? We all text. "Oh, I can't believe they didn't text me back. It's been an hour." Well, now you have a running text with God, and you can text Jesus anytime you want, all right? So that's the way we look at it now. Let's switch to Exodus, though. Let's go back to where the tabernacle started, all right? In Exodus 25:8-9, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." So, God is setting up the pattern of how you're supposed to pray and how you're supposed to do specific things, right? And it's a sanctuary for him, too, at the same time. It's a place where you can find him. Throughout Exodus, God gives us all kinds of specs on this, all right? Let's go to the map. You think we got the first map up here we can show you? I'm going to kind of build on this one. Okay, so this is the tabernacle itself. It's kind of a way to look at it, all right? You got the opening at one end. Looks like a long trailer there, so to speak, right? It's 45 feet long and 15 feet wide and 15 feet tall. So, right, it's a single wide, right? The difference is you got canvas on the outside. You got animal skins on the outside. They come up the sides and go over the top, right? So you come in the one end, and then you'll start to go through different processes as you go through this, and different ways that they prayed and different ways that they got with God. So a single wide, it's got canvas instead of, you know, it's probably got dirt floors and rugs on them too, wouldn't you think? I would think that's how they probably did it back then. And the skeletal structure of the building was basically made out of wood. But a lot of the wood were made into pillars, right? So to show some of the glory of God. The tabernacle itself is supposed to be like the Garden of Eden. Have any of you heard that before? It's supposed to be like the Garden of Eden. It is where God dwells, and various details of the tabernacle suggest, in a way, it is a mini Eden. If you look at some of the parallels, generally speaking, it always faced to the east, right? All right, it always faced to the east. That was one of the things. It was guarded by, well, if you call it guarded, cherubim, right? Cherubim was always at the entrance there somewhere. They had usually had some kind of gold inside. And of course, in this time frame, they had the Ark of the Covenant inside also. Maybe even the Tree of Life, right, was there in representations of different things. So you had a little bit of the Garden of Eden there of what was going on with God. So thus, God's dwelling in the tabernacle was a step towards the restoration of paradise, right, which is to be completed the new heaven, right, and new earth, okay? So for reference to that, go to Revelations, right, or Revelation. Don't say Revelations. I know I was thinking it because we always think about that, but Revelation 21 through 22 will give you some ideas of the new heaven and earth, all right? Today, though, even though we no longer need the physical tabernacle itself, right? We don't need it to meet with God. These same steps you can use to connect with Him. You can kind of go through the same exact process, and it'll get you through that when you're praying. This prayer model will take us through each station of that tabernacle. I'm going to cover each one of those here pretty quickly. And it doesn't seem like it's something in today's world, right? No one would build that, right? No one would do that, right? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing. A lot of you are thinking the same thing. Don't give Pastor Billy any ideas. Because if he could, he would build that right here out in the parking lot if we could do it. Might be Easter one of these years, right? So that's exactly what I was thinking when that came to me. Okay, the tabernacle, why? Well, if it's a pattern to model or pray on. So let's start off with the outer court, all right? The outer court itself. Now, there you go. It just says it a little bit there. This is a place you come in. It's like coming into our lobby almost, so to speak, right? You come in, you're talking with people, you're starting to give your thanksgiving towards things here, though. So it's set up to be an area of thanksgiving and praise. So when you first come into the tabernacle, that's what you'll be doing. Here you are where to give God his praise and thanks for everything he does in our lives. And it's really about a lot of things we forget about. It's about gratitude to God and not what we're trying to get, not the greed that we want to get, right? In Psalms, it says this. Psalms 104, 100, there you go. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So when you first get into the tabernacle, that's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to start praising God himself for everything, right? So that's how that begins. The Israelites entered the tabernacle with thanksgiving and praise on their minds in the prayers, thanking God for what he has done, and we should start our prayer time the exact same way, right? First thing you probably want to do when you start to pray is you want to thank God for everything that's there and what he's done for you. So what can you pray? I think I got a little box up here there. Thanksgiving and praise for the outer court. All right, what can you pray? Spend some time really thinking about all the blessings that you have in your life for which you're thankful for. That's one way to start. You can write down a list. You can sing your own song of praise if you would like to do that, if that's the way you pray. Or just spend some quiet moments reflecting on your gratitude and praise towards God himself. So that's the beginning, and that's the beginning of your prayer. You should start something along those lines. Then we move on to the brazen altar, all right? I think we got a map of that. Shows the second section. All right, the brazen altar, it got a little picture of it there on the side, kind of covered up. Now, what do we think of altars? When we think of altars, we think of giving some kind of sacrifice. And that's exactly what they did back then. In the Old Testament, everyone had to regularly bring animal sacrifices as payment for their sins, right? Now, today we don't do that. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for that on the cross for us. All right? So, once and for all the blood that was shed on that cross kind of brought all those roads together for us, and everything was there for us when Jesus did that for us. So, we changed that from an altar now to Jesus doing that for us. Let's go to Psalms, and we'll talk a little bit about that. 103, 2 through 5. All right. At the beginning it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all my benefits." We've already started talking about giving thanksgiving for God when we came in the front door, basically. "Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with the love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's a lot in there. It sounds pretty good, and the Psalms always sound great. You want to sound like things that you're going to be excited about. But let's start with who forgives all your sins. Well, there's forgiveness right there. We see the word forgive, and forgiveness pops out. We see heals on the second line there. Healing powers in the third area. Now, on the fourth, redemption. And then it makes me new is coming up on the last lines. And blessings when we get into each verse, right? In the fifth verse that pops up. So, remember, the altar has been replaced by the cross of Jesus now for us. So, the cross provided these five major benefits for us that you don't see in the tabernacle itself, and what they were doing back then was different. So, the cross provides us these things. Salvation, right? Salvation. God will forgive you for everything you've done. You just need to repent. That's all you got to do. Repent and ask for it. Healing. God heals all the diseases. We pray all the time to help people out. We saw some people this week who got through some really adversity. And almost everybody in this single church who knew about it was praying for that person. Yes. Redemption. God rescues me and he restores me. Redemption. So, those things that happened back when they were, I'm going to forget about those. Not that I don't totally forget about them, but that is not me. And I become back for being redeemed from Jesus Christ. Transformation also goes through now. God changes me into his likeness when he died on that cross for us, and I accept him, I have that option for transformation. I become transformed as that person. Now, blessings also come. God provides everything I need. And so when you kind of go through that scripture, you see the forgiveness, the healing, the redemption, the transformative powers, and the blessing as you go through that psalm right there. But what can you pray for with this? Well, there's a lot of different things you can pray for when you get into this section, right? I think we got a second box up there. There it is, brazen altar, cross of Jesus. You can thank God for the gift of Jesus himself, right? We always say things like, the blood shed on that cross is for us. Thank you, Jesus. That's something along those lines. Thank you, Jesus, for his sacrifice and love. Almost the same statement right there, right? You can say, let the power of the cross and what it means for your life, really, to settle in your spirit, right? It really gets into your bones when you kind of go through these kind of things, in addition to expressing your gratitude towards him too. And of course, you can claim the transformative power of Jesus and the healing of the cross that you're going through at that time when you are accepting Jesus into your life, all right? So there's a lot of different things that can go on at the altar there. And it's not always just giving up some kind of sacrifice in some way or another to is the way they did it back then. Now it's accepting Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he gave for us. All right, let's move on to the map. The third spot, the laver. The laver. Looks like a little bowl there, right? And they say there was water in there and there was stuff where you could wash and start to cleanse yourself. So a cleansing and purifying area. And here's the one thing that I know would really get people. It was kind of made out of like a mirror. So when you looked down into it and you started to clean yourself, you saw that you are not perfect, that you needed to change, and that you needed God in your life to do that. So that is a kind of a spooky thing in my mind to think, I'd look down in there and see that. You guys remember last time I preached, I had a Santa hat on, and I looked like Santa, right? And when I walked by the mirror, I thought, man, I'm Santa Claus here. That's not good, right? But it made me think about what was going on in my life towards Santa, how big I might be getting, my rosy cheeks, that kind of stuff, all right? So it made me think. It's not sin in its way, but it's a way to think when you look in a mirror, you see things that you may not. And that bowl was made out of a mirror just like that. So the next step there was the bowl of water where people were reminded of their sinfulness and their need to be cleansed and forgiven. And let's go to Romans 12:1. It talks a little bit about that. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Your true and proper worship is to give yourself to God, right? To give your bodies as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. And we're not talking sacrifice where you go and jump in front of a truck or something like that, right? Some people think that. There are people who go to those extremes. But the sacrifice in that you give everything you do on every single day and every single moment to God. You talk God, you walk God, you be like God. That is the portion, that is the relationship you have with him, is to try to be like him. And then that rubs off on other people, right? So that's the cleansing and preparing portion of it. Checking our hearts and our motives and surrounding our lives to God is an important part of daily prayer, for sure. Giving ourselves to God, whole minds and whole bodies all at one time. So what can you pray? We got the third box up there. There's the labor, cleaning and preparing. So we started with the outer court, thanksgiving and praise to God. Then we go to the brazen altar where we see our own selves and we start to think about what's going on, and the cross of Jesus kind of switched that from the animals that were given at that time frame. Then we go to the laver where we're cleansing and preparing ourselves, and we can actually see ourselves in the bowl when we look into the water. So what can you pray? Well, because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's the first thing you can pray. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and saving me from my sins. We can confess our sins to him and receive complete forgiveness and a fresh start. If you've never been to church, you don't know that process, that is exactly what we preach here. All right? Jesus died on that cross for us. You can be forgiven. You just need to repent and proclaim the name of Jesus, okay? And then faithfully follow out with that, all right? So, in prayer, you can humbly and sincerely turn away from your sins and allow God to cleanse and renew you, really. Then surrender your life and every part of yourself to him. And that's a tough one, especially at the beginning. A lot of times when you first find Jesus, you jump in all, woo, I'm in, baby, right here in the deep end, right? And then you start to paddle and you start to struggle and you're not sure what's going on. Am I doing this right? Am I really in this? And eventually you get yourself over to the shallow end. You start to find your feet, right? And you find your feet, you start to find your purpose and what the things that are going in your life are about and how you get to those. And through that whole process is the cleansing and really the repairing and preparing of your life as it moves forward. Now, there are a few people who just jump right in the deep end and they're fine. They're swimming, no big deal. And they just move forward. But most of us, we got to find our way back to the shallow end and try to figure out what's going on. And then we come back and we slowly edge back up to that euphoria we had like when we got baptized or we gave ourselves, all right? So that's the laver, the cleansing, the preparing portion. Now we're going to go to the candlestick. It's on the map, I think, here. I'm going to kind of put two together here. The candlestick and the table of shoe bread. So you see you came in the front door there, and you came right away to the brazen altar. That's what the first thing you saw. Then as you move forward, you get to the laver, and then you start to go into the holy place there, into the smaller, tighter area there. That's kind of more of another area where there's canvas, animal skins around, right? Wood frames, that kind of thing. And you get into the table of shoe bread and candlestick. Okay, so let's cover the candlestick first. The candlestick is basically a representation of the Holy Spirit, all right? Every flame on top of that candle is supposed to be seven-branch golden candlestick is referred to as the tree of life itself, and the fire on top is each candle represents the Holy Spirit. I don't know a lot about the Jewish faith, but it's very identical to the menorah, is it not? Is that what they call the menorah? Okay, so you can see how that started back then, and that has stayed in their culture and in their religion. And how we are called to be in the light of the world's darkness is what we see here. So the light's on top, the flame is flickering up there. We're supposed to think of that as the Holy Spirit, but we're also supposed to think about it how we can be a light in the darkness also, right? And how we can do those things, and we're called out of the darkness and back into the light. In Isaiah 11:2, it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord." So let's go to the beginning of it. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. All right? You can put everything onto God. You don't have to carry that baggage with you the whole time. You don't have to be begrudgingly going through life, as Jesus will give that up for you and he will take that from you. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding is there also. The spirit of counsel and his might. So all these things he will take for you. You do not have to. Yes, we want to learn. We want to move forward, right? That's always a constant in our lives. We want to learn more. But he's able to take those from us. And the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord is also in there as the last sentence. So, when Jesus left the earth, Christians were given the gift of the Holy Spirit at the same time, right? Okay, you're able to talk to somebody, you're hearing voices, you're talking to the Holy Spirit, and he comes inside you. When a pastor comes up in the mornings, and he prays in the mornings, he prays for the Holy Spirit to come through him to talk to you, so that you may understand, right? Every pastor is not great, every pastor is not good. A lot of us are down on the lower side. Maybe we don't talk well, maybe we want to do something, right? We always got something there. But when I get up here, the Holy Spirit, I pray for that to be coming through me so that you can understand what's going on. And in this case, we're talking about how to pray and to get through those things, all right? So, when Jesus left the earth, Christians were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He calls the Holy Spirit our advocate. He's our advocate, somebody we can talk to, we can confide in, somebody we can get with, right? We cannot do what God has called us to do without his supernatural power. That's why I said when we come up here as a pastor and we're trying to speak, we want the Holy Spirit to come through us. And believe it or not, I don't care so far, every single time, doesn't matter whether I thought the sermon was going to be great before I got up here or I thought it was going to be terrible when I got up here. Most of the time, I go back and look at it and I go, I think people learned something. So the Holy Spirit's coming through me some way or the other, right? All right. So we cannot do what God has called us to do without his supernatural power. And it is through the Holy Spirit that God comforts us, he guides us, and he empowers us. Empowers us to go through each and every day. Now, in the same area, remember I talked about the table of shoe bread, all right? This is the word of God itself. That's what it represents. In the tabernacle, a table with 12 loaves of bread representing the importance of reading God's word for daily sustenance, and because here it is a time to feed on the word of God. Can we go back to that picture? Did I have that? Or do I have the next one that shows the shoe? There you go. So there's the shoe bread. So one side is the candlestick, right? There you go, the tree of life. On the other side, the table of shoe bread. And this is where all that knowledge is and all this learning and all these things that you want to get through into your life. So there's a table with 12 loaves of bread representing the importance of reading God's word. Tough one. Tough one. We get busy. Ah, Pastor Brian, we can't do this. I'm the same way. I run through streaks where I'm not reading at all, it seems like. And then something kicks in, and all of a sudden, day after day after day, you're reading different things. And you think to your mind, well, I'm seeing this today and I'm seeing that today. We did this at church, or we did that church. That's enough. No, not enough. Not enough. You got to keep studying. You got to keep praying. All right? All right? That's the way you got to do it. Because here at this table, right, is your daily sustenance, because here's the time to feed on the word of God when you get to this table there, when they went to that. So they've come in the front door. They've gone through the altar. They've looked at themselves in the labor. And now they're talking about God, the Holy Spirit, and what they need to do with their lives. And they start to pray about that too. In Joshua 1:8, it says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips. Always on your lips. Okay? Is that a hard one? Do you know some people who can quote you scripture word for word? Is it on their lips? Yeah, sure it is. I am not capable of doing that. I think most of you are not capable of doing that. That's why we continue to study and study and study, right? We try to pull it in just as we can. So keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it every day and night. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So here they're pointing you back to the Bible. At that time frame, they were pointing you to the scriptures that they had already written down and everything else in the Old Testament that they had already seen. So keep this book of the law always on your lips. God's word is an incredible gift and a powerful tool, and it has great relevance and an impact in your prayer life. I can remember many, many times praying and falling back to something I can remember as I'm praying through that, because my mind is jumping in all different places. I'm trying to think about different things, different people I want to pray for, different things that are going on in life that I want to pray for, praying for God, and then I'll bounce back and something will pop in because of that study somewhere that I remember. And then it'll come to the forefront, and it'll come to the beginning of my prayers. So God's word is an incredible gift, and it's a powerful tool. Use it. Now, here's how you can pray to incorporate God's word and the Holy Spirit into your prayer time. Next box up, right? There it is. The Holy Spirit, the word of God. Candlestick, table of shoe bread is right there. And those were the middle ones on that other box. Now, here's what you can do. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. One of the first things you can do. You can ask to be pointed on the correct path. God, am I in the right place? Please point me in the right direction. This one is a good one because I think a lot of people pray for this one. They pray for, please help me get through this. Show me where I need to go, right? So there's something, to be pointed on the correct path. Ask him to guide you, basically. It's the same kind of thing, getting you on the right path. Also take time to read and think about the word itself when you're going through prayers and you're heading into your prayer time, all right? So you're reading the book, you're trying to figure out what you want to say, and these are all things you can add into your prayers. You can claim God's many great promises for your life and the world around you. And how many people forget those, right? How many people forget all the blessings they do have because they're focused on the bad thing that's happening right now, all right? And you forget about all those, the beautiful kid you have, right? The grandchild, all right? Maybe your daughter's got a great job and she loves it. You think that's awesome. It's a blessing. You have a spectacular church to come to. Stuff like that. Okay, so claim God's many great promises for your life and the world around you. Ask him for a fresh revelation of his word. Maybe you've become stagnant. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you need to find something. You go back to the book, you start reading. It comes back to your prayer. You can ask for it, and it may just pop straight into your mind, like I said. Different times, different ways. Ask him for a word to help you as you go throughout your day. Wow. Every day. How many of you stopped this morning and said, God, help me get through the cold, so to speak, but through life this morning, right? I'd say a lot of you did pretty well because you're here, right? And there's a lot of people watching on the internet too, and they want that. They want God to guide them through each and every day. So ask him for a word to help you as you go throughout your day. Ask him to show you how to apply his word in the world around you. Remember I talked about the home, at your job, at your families, Thanksgiving, Christmas, at the gas station, you're pumping gas, whatever it is, you have all kinds of things. How amazing would that be if we all did that? If we walked that way every single day? Because when we get busy, we tend to forget. Right? We tend to forget. We drive by that person on the side of the road that needs some help. Or we, they're going to be okay. I've done it. I know I've done it. Right? Those kind of things. I get too busy. I got to get here. I got to get there. I don't have time for God. That's why sitting at a street light with the steering wheel in my hand, I can talk to God. And I'll say 70-80% of my prayers seem to come right there sitting at a corner somewhere, right? And it's not about the guy in front of me or behind me. It's about what we need in my daily life, in my life. So, because remember, it would be very amazing if we could do that, and when we get busy, we tend to forget. All right, let's move to the altar, all right? The altar of incense. We've got the map up here. Okay, so now we've come through the right side and we're moving into the left there. We've gotten back almost to the end of the inside box. It's that small square, and you can see the altar of incense over on the side. Almost looks like a trash can. Not sure if you're supposed to throw things away or not. Let's see how it works. A small altar of burning incense stood at the entrance of the Holy of Holies. The only reason I said that is because it just, from here, it looks like a trash can. But it's incense. It's incense coming up out of another kind of bowl and a dish there, right? So the Holy of Holies is where God's presence dwelled. So here you're at the precipice of the Holy of Holies, which is in the second room there in the big square on the back. You're right in front of it at this point. The small burning incense is right at the entrance of the Holy of Holies. But first, a stop at the altar was needed. So you needed to stop there, and you needed to talk to God. The people of God entered God's presence as they worshiped his names here. And when I say names here, back then, there were plenty of names for God, right? And they used them when they prayed. We normally just say God or Jesus. We got Yahweh. We got all kinds of different names out there. They had plenty of them, and they tried to use them everywhere. Perfect place to name drop, right? That's where you got to do it, right? Right when you're at there at the altar. So they had plenty of names. This altar represents worship and pleasure. It gives God when we worship him. So that's what he likes to hear there. Here's what it says in Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Those who turn around and go the other direction are going to struggle. They're going to have problems. Those of you who run to it, you will find the difference when you run towards that fortified tower. The song, the strong tower and all that, right? Yeah, now you know where it came from, right? Okay, so this is just one of the hundreds and hundreds of places you can find in the Bible in Proverbs 18:10 to worship Jesus, right? There's plenty of places in there. You're going to find it all over the place. But what you can pray is this. Thank God for making his presence available to you. Thanks, God, just for being there, for somebody to talk to. I need you here with me. I know you're here. I am comfortable. I feel better through this. Praise his names and worship him personally. God, Jesus, Yahweh, right? That's how they did it. If you ever wanted to name drop this, again, this would be the time. Here you would use this name as often and as many ways as you can if you're in this spot, and that's what they did back then. Also, you can joyously praise him specifically for who he is and how he has moved in your life. And every one of us has a different story. Every one of us has a reason. Every one of us has something where Jesus has moved us and done something for us. But now comes the granddaddy of them all. Let's move on to the last picture. There you go, the Ark. The Ark of the Covenant. All right, the Holy of Holies is what this area was called. That's the darker area around there. It's kind of at the very end on the left is where that box is, where the Ark was. This is a place of intercession, right? This is a place where you're supposed to be able to talk with God and be with God. Now, the final place in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, God's presence dwelled here, it was about a 15-foot cube, all right, where the Ark of the Covenant sat. Now, what I mean by cube is, we already know it's 15 feet wide, right? But we're talking a cube, the circumference and everything in the total of it was about a 15-foot cube. So it's not 15 foot wide in that, it's smaller than that, but it's a box. It's not something floating in the air or something like that you might see in a movie, that kind of thing. It was probably sitting on some kind of shelf, all right? It was a 15-foot cube where the Ark of the Covenant sat. There the priests interceded by praying on behalf of the people of God. Okay, they didn't actually go in there to see the Ark of the Covenant. They told the priest what was going to happen, and the priest went in there and spoke on their behalf. Now, that's the big difference from what we do now. Now, every single one of you can pray for somebody. Every single one of you can be a priest, all right? Every single one of you can teach, you can pray, you can preach. You just got to have some gumption to get up and do it, right? In our times, it would be the same way that we intercede on behalf of those of us around us. And the Apostle Paul also talked about this in 1 Timothy 2. He said these things. Maybe. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all the people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may have peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So he wants you to come to him. He wants you to be saved. We can make a difference when we spend time praying for others, that's for sure. That's what you can pray for. You can pray for those with whom you interact and connect, including these people. Start with authority. You can pray for the people in authority, and that includes people, let's see here, the church, the government, family, your workplace, anything along those lines. You can pray for the marginalized, those suffering injustice, the poor, the widowed, the weak. Those are also on the list. Your family, both immediate and extended family members. You can, again, back to the church, pastors, small groups, members, missionaries, right? They're all out there. They could use your prayer. Your community, people in your city, nation, and around the world, all right? I know it seems kind of funny when someone says, oh, I want world peace, and they're praying for it. God's hearing it. He's still hearing it. He wants that too, all right? Your relationships is another thing you can pray for your friends, your coworkers, acquaintances, maybe even people you haven't met yet. How about your adversaries? Those with whom you disagree, yet that one is really a biggie for all of us. To get past something somebody has done to us, or we've had some kind of dust up with somebody, it's a hard one. But in the culmination of our journey through the spiritual landscape now modeled by the tabernacle that we've seen, we find ourselves now at the Ark of the Covenant. Can we pop up the last one? You can see what it forms right there, right? The Ark is at the top. The dwelling place of God in intercession is now Jesus Christ, which is in the center. The brazen altar is what changed that. That's the center of that cross. We, like the priests, are called to engage in fervent intercession for those around us. Through our prayers, we can make a difference, seeking peace, godliness, and salvation for all of us, right? This act of intercession, inspired by the ultimate dwelling place of God, became a powerful expression of love, compassion, and obedience. As we reflect on the pattern of the tabernacle and the significance in our prayer lives, we are reminded that each station holds that unique purpose, and we kind of went through all those, right? Anywhere from when we look at those unique purposes, from the Holy of Holies where intercession happens to the tabernacles, you know, it just serves so many different things for us. In the modern era, we may not construct physical tabernacles, yet the principles of gratitude, forgiveness, right, cleansing, and intercession still endure to this day. We just do it differently than they did it then. As we embrace this prayer model, may our conversations with God become richer, our lives more aligned with His will, and our impact on the world more profound. It seems simple. It's a little pattern. It ends up looking like this. It's kind of cool. Can we remember these things? How to pray? Well, it's going to be tough to kind of get some of these things into your ideas of how you talk and how you pray. It's not the only way to pray either. I heard Mark talking about some prayers with five fingers and five fingers this morning when he was talking about prayer before church. I'd never really heard that before. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. So there are other ways to pray. You should personalize yours and fit it in the people and the things you want, right? Never forgetting to realize it is about what God wants, not what we want. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to close us in prayer here before they sing the last song. I'm going to try to cover every single section of how you could do this in order, all right? So when you hear some of the words and you think about some of those, don't be afraid to use those in your prayers when you're praying on your own too. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are good, and we come before You with hearts of full gratitude. Thank You for the countless blessings You have poured upon us, for watching over us, and for the new mercies You grant us each day. We praise You for who You are and for all You have done for us. Thank You, God, for the incredible gift of Your Son, Jesus. We express our deep gratitude for the sacrifice He made on the cross for us, saving us and setting us free. Lord, we humbly confess our sins to You and turn away from them. Thank You for Your boundless forgiveness, and we offer You specific parts of ourselves, surrendering to Your guidance. We give to You our tongues to speak good and not evil. We give You our eyes to focus on You and the needs of others. We give You our ears to be sensitive to Your voice. We give You our hands to do good for others. We give You our feet to walk in Your ways and follow Your footsteps. We give You our minds to be transformed and used by You. Holy Spirit, we invite You to fill each one of us. Guide, direct, comfort, and counsel us. We recognize You, Jesus, as the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge. Thank You, God, for the precious gift of Your Word. We commit to reading it and asking You to reveal Yourself to us through it. Lord, we acknowledge Your righteousness, Your healing, Your provision, Your shepherding and peace, even though we may not understand it at any given point. Your presence is our life breath, joy, and purpose. We thank You for creating a way through Jesus for us to have Your presence wherever we go. We lift up those in authority, our spiritual leaders, governmental leaders, our family leaders. Grant them wisdom, grace, and protection, and a deep love for You. Watch over and meet the needs of the marginalized, the poor, the widowed, the homeless, the weak, those who need You. Bring justice and reconciliation to our world. Lord, be present with our families, bless and protect them. Reach out to those who don't know You, guiding their hearts toward You. Watch over our church, our pastors, and every individual who enters our buildings. Bring the lost to our midst, and may they encounter You in a powerful way. We pray for our city, nation, and world. Bless our friends, neighbors, and co-workers. We also lift up our adversaries, praying for unity and reconciliation. Lastly, we lay our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs at Your feet. Thank You for choosing us and calling us Yours. We say and do all this in Your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.